On this week's episode of What the Puck, we discuss Tom Wilson's first NHL goal, Alex Ovechkin misses two games, and Volpatty changes his name to Volpunchy. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. This is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for tuning in on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, or whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much over here. How are you doing?
I'm good. If you want to follow Coach Dan and I on Twitter, we are both on Twitter. I'm at BrandoCash, Coach Dan. He's at WTP Coach Dan. Coach! We got a lot of stuff to talk about. First things first, let's talk about Ovechkin here, captain of the team, a guy who hasn't missed many games except for like suspensions and stuff, but he did miss the games against Florida and Philadelphia. He did come back for the Islanders. Let's talk about Ovechkin here. Supposedly it was an upper body injury that was suffered during the Vancouver game. First things I just want to say is you could definitely tell that Ovechkin is a huge factor for this team, no matter what. I mean, you could definitely see what he brings to the table in that Islanders game. But I want to say I'm pretty proud of our guys because I think in Philadelphia and Florida, they did pretty well without him.
Well, yeah, I mean, they missed him in the Philly game, although it doesn't look like they missed him, at least on the scoreboard. And the Florida game, I mean, if you compare those two games, it sort of was interesting the way they worked out. Thankfully, they both worked out in wins. But, you know, you'd think without your leading goal scorer and captain, the team would struggle a little bit. And, you know, maybe they did kind of in the Florida game, although I think to some extent they didn't seem like they were as interested in that one as they were the other games. But they did well without him. And he came back and he had a great game against the New York Islanders in that was a 6-2 win. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was a little scary that he was out. He missed two games, which I don't think anyone was expecting. I mean, there was a rumor that he may just miss the Flyers game. And then he was out for a while, but it looks like he's back and ready to go. He's got a porn star mustache, so he's definitely ready to go.
Are you doing Movember?
No, I would look terrible in a mustache. I will recognize the movement without the mustache because that's just not going to go well.
Yeah, I shave off. I usually have a full beard. I mean, it's not the most impressive beard. It doesn't cover. It's very patchy. But I shaved off, you know, the sides and the bottom and everything. So I do have just that mustache. But the mustache without the beard is so unimpressive. Yeah, I'm doing Movember. It's not the prettiest thing. But that's what it's all about, is not being pretty and kind of raising awareness for men's health and everything. But let's get back to Ovechkin here. I was very impressed with his play for this Islanders game. I mean, the big thing is, I bet you he could have played Philadelphia and Florida, but I think that they kept him out because, number one, Philadelphia is a very rough team, and they didn't want to risk him kind of injuring himself a little bit more than what he already had been suffering from, whatever it was, that upper body injury. And we saw how violent Philadelphia can get. And plus, against Florida, I mean, nothing to take away from Florida and the Panthers and everything, but they're not a team that Ovechkin is, I guess, not needed for. I mean, that sounds really rude because they do have great guys like Tomas Fleischmann on their team, but I think the coaches thought, you know, the team could get by with a win without Ovechkin, so let's hold him out and just let him rest. So whether or not these were necessary to pull him out of, I'm glad that the coaching staff decided to kind of let him sit on the sidelines at least for these two games. It's kind of convenient where this injury came from when it did, because I don't want him on the ice against Philadelphia, and he wasn't really needed against Florida.
Yeah, I mean, well, he definitely wasn't needed against Philly, and I think you make a good point that you don't really want, if he's got what was rumored to be a shoulder injury, you don't really want him out there taking shots into the boards or anything like that against a team that's going to be looking specifically to try and run him over and hurt him even more. So, you know, I think it was a smart move by the team. I think it's great that they had the secondary scoring to be able to go out and get wins without him. So hopefully, you know, if this happens again during the season where he needs a rest, that's fine by me, so that they have him ready to go and not injured for a potential playoff run or run through the playoffs.
Yeah, and this might have been good for the team as well, because maybe they always, with you, when you have a star like Ovechkin, the face of the league and such a huge star over in Europe and in Russia and everything, I think that maybe you kind of count on that guy a little bit too much and you get a lot of pressure on him. But I think the guys really stepped up. Everybody else really stepped up and was able to hold their own in these two games without him. So I was very impressed with these guys, and I think that's why they played at least the second period so well in the Islanders game, because I think they had a little bit more self-confidence than they did beforehand. But let's talk about this Philadelphia line brawl. I mean, it wasn't even the win or whatever that really had a lot of people talking. It was this line brawl that Philadelphia brought on to the Capitals. And first things first, I mean, if you're going to have a fight on the ice and you want to kind of rally your crowd and rally your team, why are you going to do it when you're down 7-0? Like, why wouldn't you do it when maybe you're like down 4-0 or something to kind of get them moving? Why wait until 7-0?
Because they're a bunch of poor sports. I mean, the way it came down to it is you're down 7-0, so they decided to get their panties in a bunch and get all pissy about it. And it wasn't even that. Like, it's one thing if you want to start a fight and you go up and you challenge a guy, but Wayne Simmonds, after the drop of the puck, he just started throwing elbows and checks and arms at people, and eventually Tom Wilson was like, all right, let's go. So they start going at it, and you know, as big a deal as that may have been, because Simmonds was being a little bit of a baby about it, and I agree with you, if you're going to try and stir your team up, you have to. If you're down 3-0 or 4-0, that's when you're going to start stuff. If you're down 7-0, just, you know what, put your tail between your legs, play some defense, and you know, the game's over, let it go. But after that whole thing happened, then we had the biggest douche of the night. Ray Emery had decided to skate the entire length of the ice to challenge Braden Holtby to a fight. Now, Holtby declined. He said, no thanks, I'm not interested. I believe Emery actually trains as a boxer in the offseason. Now, whether Holtby knew that or not, it was a smart move to decline. You know, Holtby's a young goaltender. He has no business in fighting. As which then Emery then basically told Holtby, too bad, and then proceeded to mug him. Emery just proceeded to beat the, you know, just punch consistently into the back of Holtby's head at one point. And as much as that infuriated me, what almost infuriates me even more is that referee Francis Saint-Laurent then proceeded to stop the other Caps players from intervening and stopping the fight, even though Holtby had no interest in what was happening at that time. I went back and watched the video, and you see Lotta, Volpatti, and Urbom all attempt to intervene, only to be stopped by Saint-Laurent or the Flyers players. Now, this led to Urbom fighting Braden Schenn. And again, if you go back and watch the video, you can actually see that Urbom is watching what's happening with Holtby and Emery when Schenn drops his gloves to fight. So Urbom, I mean, I don't know if he challenged him and dropped the gloves before Urbom even responded, or if Urbom was sort of like, yeah, whatever, buddy. And then they began to fight. And then Alexi and Vincent LeCavalier ended up fighting, although in the end, LeCavalier ended up getting injured with a facial contusion and lost a few teeth. Ooh. And ended up missing a few games for the Flyers. So, you know, the Flyers were a little pissy about getting their butts whipped up there in Philadelphia. And then I can't remember who posted the video specifically, but I believe it actually might have been from Capitals Outsider, that there was a video of some idiot Flyers fan there screaming and yelling about how Emery was beating up Holtby. Your team's down 7-0. Sit down and shut up. Like, you're getting – they got whooped badly on their own ice. They reacted late to what was happening. They were embarrassed. Your goalie's a gigantic douchebag. You know, let it go. And what I don't even understand how Emery, in the end – got no punishment whatsoever other than getting kicked out of the game.
Yeah, that's the thing that pisses me off the most. You look at that tape and everything. First off, the NHL should be embarrassed by the fact that their refs let that go on the way it did. You look at that tape. I understand you're trying to break up a lot of other things, and there's a lot of people fighting on the ice. But when Braden Holtby is literally skating backwards away from him going, look, dude, I mean, he wasn't like – running away from him, but at the same time, he wasn't like, we're not going to fight. I don't want to fight. It's not my thing. He's got Nuvi waiting in the wings. So if he did get a concussion or something from a fight, he's losing ice time. And it's kind of important when you have a goalie like that, you know, trying to get as much ice time as possible. But then the guy just lunged at him and started punching him in the back of the head, and the refs just let it go. I mean, yeah, Holtby kind of got whooped in it, but it's because Holtby didn't want to be a part of it.
No interest.
None at all, no. And the refs just kind of held, like you said, held the Caps players back and didn't let them break it up. They performed poorly. They should be in trouble with the NHL. But the fact that the NHL didn't suspend the Flyers goalie, Emery, for this is unbelievable. I mean, here you are, you're trying to say, oh, we're protecting our players. We're doing, you know, we've got hybrid icing so they don't get hurt anymore. And you're not even going to suspend the guy for going all the way down the entire length of the rink and saying, hey, man, let's fight, and Holtby going, no, I don't want to, and then just punching him anyway. You don't get suspended for that? How poor of an example are you setting for other players and other goalies? I mean, it makes no sense to me that the NHL wouldn't come after him. It would be different if Holtby was kind of like, yeah, let's do this, and they started throwing punches. But the fact that he was like, I don't want to do this, and he was skating backwards, that's proving I don't want to be a part of this. And you just let it go anyway. It was poor refereeing, and it's poor ownership by the NFL or NFL for the NHL to do this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that bugs me the most is, I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, that Sean Avery actually got suspended for about 6 games, I believe, for making a comment regarding sloppy seconds in reference to Alicia Cuthbert, his former girlfriend, which makes me question her judgment in general. Her relationship with Dion Phaneuf when he was with the Calgary Flames. And he got suspended 6 games for making a sexual-related comment. I don't understand how Emery, for mugging another player, doesn't get any sort of, no action taken against him for that. Now, the NHL said that, there was no rule in the books that state Emery did anything wrong. I believe a fight is between two willing participants. If the other person says, no, thank you, I don't know if Emery needs to go back to kindergarten to understand how that works, but if someone says, no, thank you, they're not interested, dude. All right, let it go. If you want to fight somebody, go fight someone interested. It doesn't have to be a goalie-on-goalie situation if you're that interested in taking a punch at someone's head. So in the end, the NHL, I think, is screwed up. Emery's a gigantic douchebag. Everything that I read on Twitter, people, both those that are important in the hockey world, reporter-wise anyways, I guess you could say, no one understands exactly how Emery got away with it. And, he ended up playing, I believe, the next night.
And how?
Or not next night. It might be the next game or the game after, if I remember correctly.
How did Emery get the third star of the night as well for that game? I mean, come on, really? The guy lets 4 goals through. I mean, he gets put in the game, and literally the first play that he faces, the first puck coming his way, he lets go in, and he lets 4 goals go through. He mugs a guy, and he gets the third star of the night. Really?
I mean, I guess that the Flyers media have a really bad sense of humor. I don't know. I mean, in the end, it's just not that big a deal, but it's just one of those things where you're like, you guys, it's not funny. It's dumb.
Yeah, maybe we should
look like idiots.
Maybe we should just stop talking if they're that sore losers and everything, because they might come mug us. I don't know.
Well, whatever, Emery. I mean, the guy. That was one of those situations where you sit there and you just go, this is just, it's ridiculous that these kind of things happen. It's, it's another one of those things that they can put into people who don't like fighting and think it shouldn't be in the NHL. It's another one of those things where you can look at it and go, well, this is more evidence as to why fighting should not be in the league, because they let things like this happen, things that should not be happening, happen.
Yeah, so that's it pretty much for the Flyers game. Happy to get a win out of there. The Florida Panthers game, it was very sad that we couldn't win in regulation, but the Capitals did come out with a win there. So let's talk a little bit about this Islanders game. A lot of stuff happened in this Islanders game. We got to give a congratulations to Ovechkin, having a hell of a game. He got his 1,000th point in the NHL. So congrats to him last night. He got that. And of course, we got to say congratulations to Tom Wilson getting his first NHL career goal. So congrats to him. And overall, I was very happy with the game against the Islanders. Yeah, the Capitals started a tad bit slow, but the shots on goal in the first period were up from the last few games, and then they just lit it up in the second period. So I absolutely loved watching the Capitals-Islanders game.
Yeah, that game was certainly a ton of fun to watch with you, as you stated. Congrats to Tom Wilson getting his first NHL goal, as well as an assist. And I believe his first assist came from his butt as he made a pass that went actually through the crease, or not through the crease, through the slot, out to Alexander Urbom, who scored on a slap shot. And that was first. Congrats to him on his first point with the Washington. I'm not his first point, but his first Caps goal. And Michael Lotta actually also got his first NHL point, I believe, in that game. So that's pretty cool for all three of those guys. Now, it was also reported on Twitter, I believe, that before Wilson's goal, I think he was out on the power play too, which it certainly seems like the team was trying to get him a goal. I believe Ovechkin was actually talking to him right before the goal, sort of trying to set him up. So I think that that's certainly the case. That's pretty cool of the captain to do for the rookie. But in the Islanders game, I mean, the first period was kind of weak. Third period was kind of weak for the most part. It just wasn't very exciting. I think the team played well enough to get the win, but it truly wasn't that exciting. But the second period, they just dominated. And it shows that this team, when they're playing the system well, when they're playing hard, that they have times where they can completely dominate another NHL club. And with the three wins they got, they've actually jumped up into second place in the Metropolitan Division. I believe they are 8 points, I want to say, behind the Pittsburgh Penguins as of tonight's recording. So hopefully they can continue to make a run here and catch up to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, another big thing that happened during this Islanders game, congrats to you, Coach Dan, because you absolutely called that call on Urban's goal about
how, yeah, I did.
How they were going to do it. You got the wrong guy, but Urban with a bomb, that was all you. So congrats on calling that. I think you're a little bit psychic, or you just really know sports announcing really well.
Well, thank you very much. I really did think it would be Lachlan, though. The joke there I really thought was sort of up his alley. Beninati is a little bit more of a serious tone. You know, he has his goofy moments with Lachlan, but he sort of takes the profession, I would say, a little bit more seriously than Lachlan does, at least on the air. But, I right when he said it, I went, wait a minute, that's what I said. Don't steal my joke, okay? A little creepy that these guys are following me around, apparently. But, no, I mean, it was definitely – it was right when he scored, I was like, oh, yeah. All right, Urban with the bomb. Nicely done.
Yeah, so I'm really happy with these guys right now. I'm really happy with the way that they are playing. I mean, it looks – even after the game, I mean, with Ovechkin, you know, kind of pieing Tom Wilson, Ovechkin had those crazy eyes popped up right behind him. And it looks like these guys are having fun. I remember back in the Dale Hunter era, you saw Ovechkin and he was on the bench, or he was or at the end of the Bruce Boudreau era as well. In interviews and in the locker room, he always looked very depressed and he looked like he was down. I like the fact that happy Ovi, Ovi who wants to play, Ovi who's got a lot to prove is back. And this team, if they can continue to play the way they were playing in the last three games, I think that these guys are going to continue to do well. It looks like, hopefully, this system is actually working. And there were a few line movements around. I was happy to see Erat on the top line. I thought that he did pretty well working with Backe and with Ovi. So hopefully this system is finally starting to calm down, and we're finally going to see a Capitals team that's well – it's like a well-oiled Russian machine.
Nice reference there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing Erat on the first line. I think he did great. I think Johansson, I don't know, maybe we can bump back to the second line, put a fire under his butt, but he certainly, I think, was playing with a little bit more intensity in the Islanders game. I like what he's doing. I think it sort of sucks for Jay Beagle and Dmitry Orlov, who was actually called up on the 30th, and then they sent him down on the 3rd of November, and then called him up the next night. He actually did play for Hershey on the 3rd, so I guess it made sense as to why they sent him down. But a little bit just seems like McPhee and Anamotes kind of enjoy screwing with Dmitry Orlov there a little bit, just a little bit there. But if you bring Orlov up, you kind of want to play him. But I guess with the way this team has been playing lately, even with the line changes, it seems to be working. I wouldn't anticipate them making many changes for a little while. Unless somebody gets injured or if they start losing a couple of games. So far, so good. I think what they're doing is great, and we'll see how they do going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would much rather have a guy like Dmitry Orlov in the AHL where he's actually getting playing time than just sitting up in the press box. I think he's going to learn a lot more by being on the ice. So being, I guess, it's not demoted, but being, you know, asked to go back down to the AHL, being assigned back to the Hershey Bears, might not be a bad thing for him. I definitely miss Jay Beagle. We'll talk about this every single week until he comes back. I miss Jay Beagle being on that ice. But after what Volpatti has done in Philadelphia and against Florida and with the Islanders, I mean, he's proven why he should be on the ice. He's getting this system. He completely understands how to play in this system. And I think they like the fact that he's kind of gritty like Tom Wilson, where he's willing to throw off the gloves and get into a fight if he has to. I mean, to think that you've got a guy like Tom Wilson and Oleksii already on your team, you don't think you're really going to need another semi-goon out there. But Volpatti's really holding his own, and he's starting to look like a guy that this team can actually really count on.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of like it's sort of tough with the way with the way things go with this team. They seem to have a little bit more depth than we initially thought when people started getting healthy. And when Ovechkin came back against the Islanders, they had to put Fair up in the press box, which I was a bit surprised about. Beagle's up there, Orlov. When Erskine comes back, we'll see what happens there. What they decide to do with him, if they actually end up wanting to play Orlov at some point, that'd be great. I think the line of Volpatti, Lotta, and Wilson, I certainly think works out really nicely. Now, I think if Wilson, for whatever reason, was sent down, or I think I would love to see Volpatti, Beagle, Lotta. But I think right now the team is playing great. The fourth line's good. I keep bringing up the fact that I think Joel Ward shouldn't be on the team, but I say that only because of his cap. I think he brings a lot to the team. I think the third line of Chimerik, Karpovsky, and Ward is doing exceptionally well. I think a lot of that can be contributed to Grabowski and the fact that he's not a third line player, but he's still sort of getting used to the system, but he's making those two guys look great. I think they're working very hard. I think the biggest problem with this team right now is the second line. I think that's why Oates moved Johansson to the second line to center between Like and Brower, and I think it's working really well. But you talk about how these guys like playing together. I think they really do like we're playing together because, you know, you saw what was going on with Holpe. I mean, there were reports and even pictures of both John Carlson and Nicholas Backstrom being livid on the bench. Now, Carlson, that makes sense. We've seen him get fired up, but you never see Backstrom all that upset or doing all that much, maybe a little bit of talk, but he was apparently screaming at the referees on the bench while Emery was mugging Braden Holpe. So that, I mean, that's certainly great to see that these guys really enjoy playing for one another. They come to each other's defense. You know, you had the three of the guys at Urban, Volpatti, and Lada trying to go in and help Holpe out, even though they were stopped by the referee. So I think the team really is gelling pretty well right now. We'll see. You know, it's good to see that's early in the season and that these, you know, helping get these sort of minor team things out of the way so that they can get really going through the heart of the season.
Yeah, so only the time will tell to see if this team is still going to continue to do as well as they're doing right now. But really, very, very few complaints about this team. I think they're gelling really well. So a lot of games coming up this next week, and we'll be able to talk about them next week. But yeah, very happy with this team. So a little bit more Caps news. We got to talk about Jason Chimera. He gets the third star of the week from the NHL, so congrats to him.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I think he definitely owes Grabowski and even Joel Ward a beer or a dinner or something, because I think they certainly had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely. So anything else going on in Caps World we should talk about?
No, we went through that pretty good. That was well done, well done.
It's like we've been doing this for a year or more.
You know, it's almost like we've had at least like 50 shows,
oh,
I believe.
Wow,
and
look at that.
At least 50 shows. Recently, we've done this for what? In February, it'll be what? End of February, I think, is 2 years.
2 years, yeah. Crazy stuff, man. All right, so usually we go up 83 next, but we're going to do a quick pit stop in Baltimore. This is going to be an on location thing. I hope you guys dig this. I recorded a little bit at the Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament last weekend. It was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of great people that are big fans of the show. So if you came up to me and said that, hey, you really dug listening to What the Puck, thank you so much for listening in. The Baltimore Sports Report, there it's a great group of dudes over there, and we're happy to be a part of it. But I did a little bit recording, me and my buddy Barry. We played some cornhole, and spoiler alert, we didn't win. But there were a lot of – I felt like I was on the in the movie Rounders, because I felt like there were guys that did this professionally that were playing, took it very seriously.
Listen, here's the thing. If you can't spot the sucker in your first half hour at the table, then you are the sucker.
We were just there to have a good time. But here's a quick little segment from the Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament, and we'll be right back after that. And we're going up 83.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, so after one round, Team What the Puck in the Baltimore Sports Report Cornhole Tournament has advanced to round two after round one, after a thrilling victory, two games, where we took them out. Barry took them out easily. I contributed 4 points. Barry, how are you feeling about that first round?
I'm going to be honest. My back's kind of hurting from carrying our team, but we're in the semi-quarter finals. Or something along the lines of that.
Right.
We need 5 more wins, I believe, to take home the grand prize.
How do we eat lunch quicker?
Putting in the order would be the first step, I think. Actually, looking at the menu, I don't even... It's the green turtle, I guess.
I'm sure they have wings.
Chicken fingers and wings, right? Yeah.
But we're on to round two now. Team What the Puck going strong. Let's see what we can do in round two, because there's a lot of guys here that seem to be taking this very, very serious.
Yeah, one guy had a headband on.
Because he couldn't get that sweat in his eyes.
Yeah, and he might have had a wristband, too, because, you know, it's 65 degrees out.
All right, so looking at round two, we're waiting to get round two started. The strategy is to get the cornhole bag into the hole on the board, which I've only done once in round one. All right, so Barry, what is your strategy going into round two?
I think I'm going to play the wind. The wind's a factor today.
The wind is definitely a factor. It is taking the cornhole bags and moving them sometimes all the way to the next board.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you could score points on the neighbor's boards, because you might have some more points at that point.
If the goal was to get that next to the board.
Or directly in front of the board.
Directly in front. If the board was just like maybe like 2 feet closer to me, I would I'd sink them.
Dude, I wouldn't even need to be here. You could just win.
I would play both.
Just run back and forth. You'd be fine.
That's all right, guys. We're cool. All right, so we're seeing a lot of people here. I don't know if you're noticing this or not, but a lot of people are drinking. We're not drinking. Is there a chance that alcohol is enhancing them to be better players, or are we better because we're sober?
I think when we have to drive home in 20 minutes, it'll be better that we didn't drink.
Yes, that's very good. A very good life lesson. Do not drink and drive, kids. Doesn't matter. Don't drink and drive after playing cornhole.
Especially when you know you're going to be in the loser's round in 5 minutes.
12-22.
All right, well, round two is up next. We'll let you know how it goes. All right, I'm here with Zach from the Baltimore Sports Report. Zach, just tell me a little bit about what went into planning this cornhole tournament and what the turnout has been like.
The turnout's been amazing, to tell you the truth. A lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. It was a lot of preparation. You know, we kind of came together, the guys on our podcast, just saying, you know, we want to get everybody, we have a network, a website, we want to get everybody and a little bit of our audience here to have a cornhole tournament, kind of hang out, meet some of the people. You know, a lot of the guys I work with on the site, like yourself, I've never even met before. So it's cool to kind of put some faces to names. So we started preparing that, and then we paired up with the guys from MarylandCornhole.net who have really helped us out setting up the bracket, doing registration, and running the whole thing. So it's gone great. Turnout, we had 38 teams, which just blew away my expectations.
Yeah, it's been packed here the entire time. It's been a great turnout, you know. We went out in the second round. We still played a little bit more after that, but we had a great time. But cornhole seems to be such a big thing with Maryland sports, especially. I mean, that's kind of what you do before you go into the stadium. So I thought this was a great way to get fans out there. But like you said, you and I have never actually seen each other. It's more 3D than what we're used to. But seeing all the different podcasts and seeing the people out here, do you think that this kind of helps the Baltimore Sports Report get their name out into the public even more than it already has been?
Oh, without a doubt. For our brand awareness, events like this are huge, and it's a really big deal for us to kind of get out into the community and just meet some of the people that read us every day. And you know, we get a lot of emails and a lot of comments from people, but it's nice to actually, you know, like I said, put some faces to those names. So it's really big for us to do something like this, and hopefully we can continue to do events like this in the future.
Yeah, I know. I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be coming as much as I can with you guys. And this has been really fun because a lot of people are like, they see my shirt that says What the Puck, and they're like, oh, I listen to your show. So it's really cool to meet people like that. For people that listen to my show and might not know a lot about the Baltimore Sports Report, where can they get more information about it? When do you guys post your podcast? And tell me a little bit about the network.
Yeah, so BaltimoreSportsReport.com is where you can find everything. We do blogs every single day, Orioles, Ravens, Terps, and Caps. We're all over the Caps now, so be sure to check that out. And the network, I mean, we've got guys that are covering the Orioles and Ravens, guys that are just Orioles-specific, Caps-specific, like yourself. So there's something there for everybody. And, you know, we really think that this is a great community, a great audience, a really passionate sports town, and we're trying to cover from every possible angle. And we're providing the fans' perspective, you know. You can get recaps and you can get, you know, analysis anywhere, but we're giving you the fans' perspective. Our slogan is sports without charm, you know. We try to keep that in mind in everything we write and create. So, yeah, it's a lot of good work that goes out there. Be sure to check it out.
All right, that's great. Do you see anybody running away with this, with the winner of this cornhole tournament? Is there anybody that really has caught your eye?
Boy, I got to tell you what, Jabby Burns on my podcast, the BSR podcast, talked a whole lot of smack, and I really thought that he was going to be eating his words here because there's some pretty good teams. But him and Patrick Guthrie are hanging in there, and he's the one I hear from most because he's a big smack talker. So we'll see if he hangs in. But there's a lot of teams that the Maryland cornhole guys brought here that are really good. So it'll be interesting to see how it finishes.
All right, well, that's pretty much it for the cornhole tournament. Barry and I bowed out first round of the loser bracket after going round two against some cornhole pros. Barry, how do you feel about this loss?
It's heartbreaking. I thought I came in with high hopes, and it's fine. We'll be back, I'm sure, for another tournament, but we got some practicing to do.
definitely got some practice cleaning to do. Baltimore Sports Report, they definitely have a lot of good events. This was a lot of fun. Glad that we could hang out with the Baltimore Sports Report guys. Met a lot of good people. But yeah, this is pretty much it for us for the first cornhole tournament. What the Puck, at least we're repping the Caps a little bit here in Baltimore.
Yeah, we you know, I wore my Capitals hat, and it's good to come out and meet some hockey fans. There were some guys there that actually came up and mentioned What the Puck, so that was really cool.
Was a lot of fun, but now we're heading back to Baltimore after our loss. Hopefully, congrats to whoever is the final winner. But hey, this has been fun. Let's get back to the show now. All right, so now we're going up 83. We're going to talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Coach Dan, what's going on with the Hershey Bears?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey's actually gone 0-3 with an overtime loss to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, a regulation loss to the Penguins, and a shootout loss to the Norfolk Admirals. So Hershey right now is struggling just a little bit, but it's still early in their season. No reason to get concerned. Reading, on the other hand, went 2-1 with wins over the Wheeling Nailers, who are actually the ECHL affiliate with Pittsburgh Penguins. So ha! And the Elmira Jackals. It seems like every week they're playing the Jackals. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with Elmira, but I feel like I say their name a lot. They also actually had a loss to the Greenville Road Warriors.
Great name.
Which is a great name, but it's a lot. That's a lot of words and a little silly. And a quick Stan Galeev update. In 7 games, he is leading the Royals in points with 2 goals and 6 assists. Now, we've already seen him do really well in Reading before, so what we need to see is he get bumped up to Hershey and that he continues his progression and starts scoring and getting assists there so that he potentially could play one day with the Washington Capitals. If he's just going to continue to play well just in Reading, then as an ECHL player, and that's what his career is going to end up being. But I hope for more. I hope the kid is going to continue to grow and end up doing well in Hershey and potentially with the Capitals in the future.
Now,
that's all I got.
Before we leave PA, I don't know if you saw this or not, but over, I think it was on sweetesthockeyonearth.com, Stan Galeev actually got to meet the star and the leader of the Amish Mafia, Lebanon Levi, after a game. Apparently, Lebanon Levi is a huge hockey fan, and he was at a Hershey Bears game last year, and apparently he went to a Reading Royals game last weekend. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I actually was Lebanon Levi for Halloween. So Amish Mafia, apparently protectors of the Reading Royals. So that's pretty cool.
The Amish may talk, this next be the Amish Mafia. For the innocent Amish, protect and miss certain events they could do for.
I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what you just said. not a clue. I mean, I've heard of the Amish Mafia thing, but the reference, and I'm not over my head. Not
over
not
your
a
head.
Clue.
All right, yeah. That's why everyone thought I was just a Jehovah's Witness on Halloween. But no, I was supposed to be Amish, but okay, whatever. I didn't know they were big hockey fans. I like the Amish Mafia even more now. I'm okay with them. All right, that's it going on in PA. Let's go around the NHL. All right, well, there's a lot going on around the NHL, a lot of different teams playing, and a lot of people doing stuff they shouldn't be doing off the ice as well. But let's jump right into it. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
All right, here we go. Jason Arnott announced his retirement from the NHL. The Stanley Cup champion played 18 seasons in the NHL with Edmonton, New Jersey, Dallas, Nashville, Washington, and St. Louis. He played a total of 1,244 games with a point total of 938 with 417 goals. Jason Arnott has retired. Caps brought him in for just the end of the season in the playoffs. But he had a nice little run with them. I thought he did great.
I thought he did really well with Semin. He actually paired off very nice with Semin. I was a little surprised they didn't ask him to come back because he really steamed the gel with them nicely. But, unfortunately, he only played about half a season with the Capitals.
I was also expecting him to return, I think, the following season. But I wonder if it was a situation where he just wanted more money and the team wasn't willing to pay. They wanted to go with some younger players. But, yeah, I actually thought he did great sort of going and talking to Semin, trying to get the best out of him. I remember he always had a great moment where he did that play where I believe he intercepted the pass from Mark Stahl and just threw it to Semin in the slot, who ripped one over, I believe it was Henrik Lundqvist, for a game-winning goal in the playoffs. So that was an awesome thing to see there. Congrats to former Colorado Avalanche defenseman Adam Foote, whose number 52 was retired this past week by the team. Also, congrats to the Russian Rocket Pavel Bure, whose number 10 was retired by the Vancouver Canucks. Now, speaking of the Canucks, they signed the Sedin twins to matching four-year contracts. I mean, they already look alike. Why not have the same contract? Why the financial terms were not released, it is widely reported that the total is $28 million total per Sedin. I mean, Jesus Christ, guys. Do you have to do everything together? This is getting a little freaky. Montreal signed defenseman Alexi Emelin to a four-year extension worth a reported total of $16.4 million. And Carolina has signed veteran winger Manny Bolhotra to a one-year deal. Steve Downey, who is actually, I believe, in the middle of fighting a concussion after Aaron Volpatti whooped his butt, was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers from Colorado for Maxime Talbot. The Winnipeg Jets claimed former first-round pick defenseman Keaton Ellerbe off waivers from the LA Kings. That was a pretty significant drop for the former 10th overall pick. The Columbus Blue Jackets will host a 2015 NHL All-Star Game. Now, weren't they the ones who were supposed to host that game, but it was canceled due to the lockout?
I believe so.
Do I remember that correctly?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it looks like they'll be getting the game again, so it looks like they're going to try and pretend the lockout never happened, but we won't forget, Bettman, you moron. And final just NHL news, the NHL has renewed their agreement with Ticketmaster, ensuring that hockey fans everywhere can still be forced to pay ridiculous charges for tickets. So that's awesome. I'll be getting my tickets from StubHub.
Yeah.
And the last little bit of news that came out from the NHL, we can get into this in a little bit, was the Semyon Varlamov stuff. Now, last Wednesday, former Washington Capitals and current Colorado Avalanche goalie Semyon Varlamov turned himself into police, where he proceeded to be arrested for second-degree kidnapping and third-degree assault. And I believe you texted me after we finished recording that this had happened.
Yeah, it happened as I was editing, and somebody retweeted the Denver police that said that Varley had turned himself into police, and I'm like, whoa, what? I'm like, maybe it was like a DUI or something like that. I had no idea it was going to be something as serious as what he's dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, the story is, I believe, what, he severely beat his girlfriend? You know, his agent came out and said that the goalie was innocent of all charges, but do we really think that agent was going to come out and say anything different? I mean, do you really expect him to come out and say, yep, my client's a douche? You know, I mean, it's kind of the way it's going to go. And to further add to idiots saying dumb things or doing dumb things, I believe a day ago, Columbus defenseman and newly revealed dumbass Fedor Tuten came out and said that, and I quote, this is from an SB Nation article, I personally know Semyon very well. He is quite a true, considerate guy. As soon as I heard it all, I realized that it is all blown out of proportion. It's just American laws are on the women's side. That's why they can go to the police for any little thing, complain, and bring a lot of problems to men. That's why the only mistake of Semyon is that he got together with this girl. End quote. Fedor, you moron, you might have been best to keep your mouth shut, because right now you look like a gigantic idiot. And in no way will those words come back to bite you. And I believe he came out, I want to say late last night, or I believe it actually was late last night, he came out and said that he regrets making those comments. No kidding, because right now you look like a giant idiot. Okay, American laws are certainly not on the women's side. You know what they're on the side of? They're on the side of the person who got the crap beat out of them by a douchebag. You know, word is Varlamov just beat the hell out of her, and I believe there's a report that says that he has said something along the lines of to his girlfriend that if we were in Russia, he would have beat her more. It just, you know, it's one of those things where you hear it and you're just like, how is it that a person can act that way?
Yeah, it was really shocking. I don't know about you, but Varley always seemed like he was like a calmer guy. Like when I first heard that, I'm like, no, not Varley. I mean, he wouldn't do that. He seems like he's more of a stand-up guy. But I mean, after you hear those reports, there's no way that how do you fight those charges like that? I mean, and it's terrible stuff that he is innocent until proven guilty. But I mean, seriously, that those are very serious charges this guy is going to have to fight here, and I'm disgusted at the fact that he would do this, and I'm hoping that there is more to this story. But how can there be more to it? I mean, this is it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's self defense, which it certainly doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, Varlamov is clearly in the wrong here. I certainly don't think – I believe the report is that she came in with a ton of injuries. I don't think she did them to herself.
No, absolutely.
I think if that was the case, that would have come out by now.
And
so it sounds like
– There is no reason ever to hit a woman, ever. Don't ever do that. Unless she is robbing you and, like, holding a gun to your head, not okay to ever hit a woman, especially somebody that you're dating and just terrible situation that he's in, terrible situation she was in. I mean, just there's no excuse to ever hit a woman like that.
No, I think you put it perfectly. There's never an excuse to do anything. Unless they are causing you physical harm and you are defending yourself, he's clearly in the wrong. This is clearly a situation where he severely screwed up. I mean, I wouldn't say I've met him or anything like that, but, like, you know, I was at a Caps practice once, and my girlfriend got a picture with him, and he seemed like a very nice guy, went out of his way to take pictures and sign autographs with all of the fans. Now, I know that's certainly not going to be an indication of who the person is, but you can tell. I mean, if the guy's going out of his way to avoid the fans, maybe he's not the nicest guy in the world, or he's, you know, maybe he's cares more about the money or something along those lines. I don't know. But if the guy's going to come out and you sign pictures or whatever else, give autographs and take photos, I it seems like they're at least a decent guy. So when you texted me this, I was like, that's, you know, this really was – I thought maybe it was, you know, maybe it was a moving violation and he got a ticket. And, you know, he crashed or wrecked his car into another car and, like, fled the scene. You know, no one was injured but just did something stupid. But, no, this is a pretty serious thing, and this will be hanging over him in the Colorado Avalanche for certainly quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, just he's got a long time to deal with this, and we'll see what happens. But man, just terrible situation. You hate to hear about stuff like that. But how about we switch gears here and go a little bit more of a happy note? Let's talk a little bit more about the Capitals hockey coming up. Until we talk again, there are actually 4 games to watch before What the Puck records next week. Thursday, November 7th, the Capitals are still at the phone booth, and the Minnesota Wild come to town. The game is at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet. Then the guys head out west on Saturday, November 9th. The Capitals visit the Phoenix Coyotes. 8 o'clock game on Comcast Sportsnet again. Sunday, November 10th, the Capitals go to Colorado and they face the Avalanche. Will Varley play? We don't know. We'll see what happens. That game is at 8 o'clock, and important, Comcast Sportsnet Plus for that game. So make sure you're on that Plus channel, not on the main Comcast Sportsnet channel. And then Tuesday, November 2nd, the boys come home and they go up against the Blue Jackets. 7 o'clock puck drop again. Comcast Sportsnet. So lots of games to watch. I really hope you guys are enjoying the show. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, tell a friend, let them know we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Be social with us. Let us know what you think about the show. Leave an iTunes review. Tweet to me at BrandoCash and Coach Dan. He's on Twitter as well. Let people know where they can tweet to you.
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the Brando Cash Network over there. That's where you get information about this show and all the other shows in the Brando Cash Network, including The Call, a Baltimore Ravens podcast. And make sure you like us over there, because within the new year, there's going to be a lot going on. Lots of more shows coming out, so make sure you like us over there. Like What the Puck on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, 2 P's in that title. And then the show is also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. And be social. Let people know about the show. Let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, on Reddit. Let them know if they are a hockey fan and a Capitals fan that they should be listening to What the Puck, and there's plenty of ways to do that. So thank you so much for listening to the show. Coach Dan, what's going on with Fritz Kyloff?
You know, he's a little crazy.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Having a hell of a game. He got his 1,000th point. Is that right? 1,000th? I don't know.
1,000th of a point.
He got his 1,000th point.
And a little Stan Galeev update. In 7 games, he is the leading – I'm sorry. Let me try that again. Stan Galeev update. In 7 games, he is the leading goal scorer – oh, shite. I did it bad again. Hold on. I think my English is terrible. In 7 games, he is leading – oh, you know what? I read it wrong. I'm dumb. Okay. Okay, hold on.
Let people know where – Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well.